We've come today to a passage in 1 John chapter 5 that has received a great deal of attention from Bible readers. It is 1 John chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. 1 John chapter 5, we're going to begin reading in verse 16 and read through verse 17. John said, "If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death." Let's notice first of all what the situation is. And the situation is this: one brother sees another brother sin. He says, if any man see his brother sin. So this brother sees his brother sin. He sees it. It's not a matter of gossip. There is no question about it. This man has sinned. And notice that he's talking about a brother. If any man see his brother, that is, a Christian brother. He says that this man who sees his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, is to ask. That is, he is to pray. He says, he shall ask. That is, ask or pray to God. Now, of course, there are other things that a Christian can do when he sees a fellow Christian sin. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible tells Christians to warn them that are unruly. So a Christian can and oftentimes has the opportunity to warn a fellow Christian. The Bible also says in Galatians 6, verse 1, that Christians are to restore Christians who have sinned. That verse says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." So Paul says in Galatians 6, verse 1, that we can restore that man. In James 5, verse 19 and 20, the Bible says that we can convert and save that erring Christian. But here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 16, he says, if you see a brother sin a sin which is not unto death, then ask. Pray. Now, pray for what? Ask for what? Well, obviously, ask for his forgiveness. Ask God to have mercy upon him. James also talked about this in James 5, verse 16, when he said, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed, that is, healed in a spiritual sense. But notice in James 5, verse 16, and notice in the book of 1 John, that the brother who has sinned has a responsibility. He has a responsibility, as James 5, verse 16 says, to confess his sins, to acknowledge that he has sinned. He has the obligation before God to repent of his sins and to confess those sins. And John has already talked about that in the very first chapter of this book. He said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when he says here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death, he's not ignoring, he is not discounting the obligation of the man who has sinned. This verse does not mean that we can just pray for a man's forgiveness and that man be forgiven even when he's not penitent, even when he doesn't care about being forgiven. And it also does not mean that a man called a priest has the right to pronounce a man's sins forgiven. This verse is for all Christians to consider. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask. He shall ask, that is, he shall pray to God that that brother that he has seen sinning be forgiven. Now, it's interesting that John has just talked about praying to God in verses 14 and 15. Notice the connection here. Go back to verse 14. John said, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now notice verse 16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask. And he just pointed out in verses 14 and 15 that we ought to have confidence when we ask God. Remember that Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 7, ask and you shall receive. John says that we're to ask, and it's implied here again that the man that we're talking about, the man who is sinning, is a man who is penitent, is a man who wants to be forgiven. John says he shall give him, that is the man who is praying, life for them that sin not unto death. So he sees a brother who is sinning, not unto death, and he prays for that brother's forgiveness. The Bible says that God will give life, that is spiritual life, and that means forgiveness. That is conditioned, of course, again, upon that man's penitence. Now, what does he mean by a sin not unto death? And what does he mean by a sin unto death? Well, let's begin with a sin not unto death. The expression unto death means leading to death. It means resulting in death or ending up in death. And the question is, what kind of death? Is he talking about physical death or spiritual death? I believe that he's talking about spiritual death. If the death that he's talking about is physical, then there are some problematic questions. First of all, how could you know which sins lead to that kind of death and which ones don't? Where is that in the Bible? How could you take the Bible and say that this person's life is going to end because of this particular sin and not another? And there's something else. What kind of physical death, and where does that physical death come from if he's talking about physical death? Is he talking about execution by men? Is he talking about the death penalty? Well, we have a problem there, because if that's so, then again, which sins today deserve death besides things that are obvious like murder and perhaps some others? How could you know? And if this is God taking a man's life, he could do that in any number of ways. So again, how could you know that the sin caused that death? And how could you know that God took his life because of his sin? Ananias and Sapphira lied to God, and they died for it in Acts chapter 5. But God does not strike every Christian dead because he has lied. If he did, there would be a lot of dead people today. So this is spiritual death that he's talking about. And that means damnation, condemnation. The life and the death here are spiritual life and spiritual death. Just like we read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death, that is spiritual death, unto life, that is spiritual life. So this sin is the kind of sinning that brings spiritual death to a Christian. And you might say, well, doesn't any sin cause death in that sense? Doesn't any sin lead to spiritual death? Well, John has already covered that. In the life of a Christian, the answer is no, because he says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins as Christians, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this is a sin that is not unto death. And a sin not unto death is the kind of sin that John has already talked about in 1 John 1, 7 through 10. It is a sin committed as one walks in the light. It is a sin that a Christian acknowledges in his life. It is not a sin that he tries to deny. It is not a sin that he tries to hide. It is not a sin that he tries to justify himself in, and it is certainly not a sin that he deliberately ignores. It is a sin that a brother repents of when he recognizes it. That is a sin not leading to spiritual damnation. On the other hand, sinning unto death, a sin unto death, is just the opposite. It is sinning continually and rebelliously against God as a Christian. A sin unto death is what the Old Testament calls sinning with a high hand. Now, that's the literal translation of the Hebrew in Numbers chapter 15, verse 30. The King James and the New King James versions translate it there, sinning presumptuously. But in the Hebrew, it is literally and is translated this way in the American Standard Version, sinning with a high hand. That is arrogantly. That is rebelliously against God. This is sinning with a high hand, and it means sinning with premeditation before and with no regret after that sin. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27, the Bible describes one who sins willfully. That is, he sins deliberately and intentionally on a regular and continual basis. The sin unto death is the kind of sinning when a Christian rebels against the Lord and continues without any repentance. Now, John says that if you see a brother sinning in that way, don't ask God to forgive him. You can pray that God might spare his life and give him space to repent, like the Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 2, verse 21. But you don't pray for his forgiveness because he is not willing to repent. Now, this is similar to what God told Jeremiah three times in the book of Jeremiah. One of those cases is Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 16. God told Jeremiah, "Therefore pray not for this people. Neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee." The people of Judah had gone so far, and they were so impenitent, that God said, "Don't ask me to forgive those people." This passage in 1 John chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, which talks about a sin unto death and a sin not unto death, is not about any specific sin like murder or adultery. John is not saying that some sins are so bad that God won't forgive them, so don't ask. It's not the specific sin that John is talking about here, but the attitude that a person has toward it. And also, John is not teaching that some sins will send a person to purgatory and other sins send a person to hell. There's no such thing as purgatory in the Bible. And one final question. Could this sin unto death be the same sin that is talked about in Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, where the Bible says that it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance? Or even Matthew 12, 31 and 32, where Jesus said that the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit would not be forgiven? Perhaps, but either way, it is an attitude of sinning, a condition of a hardened heart about sinning that Christians must guard against.